Blog Talk Radio.
Gracious and merciful Father, Holy One of Israel, in the name of thy Son, our Savior, our Redeemer, and our soon coming King, I come before thee at this time. And I beseech thee, Heavenly Father, to please forgive me for my sin, for my iniquity that I have committed against thee. For against thee, Heavenly Father, have I sinned by going contrary to thy way, contrary to thy word, that your grace and your mercy be upon me, and that you move me by your spirit, Heavenly Father, that I may stand in the gap, that I may speak on your behalf to your people, Heavenly Father. May your word be engraved upon my heart and my mind, that it may come forth when I speak on your behalf, Heavenly Father. Gracious and merciful Father, I come before thee on behalf of your people whom you have chosen, those who have a hunger and a thirst for truth and what is right. Heavenly Father, lead us and guide us by your Spirit, that we, Heavenly Father, may be strengthened by your Spirit to become pillars, to uphold your word, where as you have stated, Heavenly Father, through your servant, the prophet, if we believe you, we shall be established. Yet, if we believe your prophet, guide us by your spirit, that we may gain understanding above all things, Heavenly Father, as you have said in your word, wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. But with all thy getting, get understanding. Gracious and merciful Father, cleanse us all by the blood of your Son, which was shed for humanity. Strengthen us all by your Spirit, that we may submit to your will, Heavenly Father, that we may obey your voice, Heavenly Father, that we may do that which is pleasing in thy sight. Holy One of Israel, in the name of your Son, our Savior, our Redeemer, and our soon coming King, Yahushua HaMashiach. Hallelujah! Good evening, and welcome once again to The Truth Shall Prevail. We want to start off tonight with a couple of passages from the Kaddishah, the New Testament. In the letter Brother Shaul wrote to the assembly in Rome, chapter 15 and verse 4, which reads, "For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we, through patience and comfort of the scriptures, might have hope." And again, a letter that Brother Shaul wrote to a young minister named Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16 and 17, which reads, "All scripture is given by inspiration of Yah, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correct, a man of Yah may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works." Brothers and sisters, as always, I encourage you all to utilize your tools, your Bible. It is very important that you follow along in the Holy Scripture so that you may go back, study, research these things for yourselves. Utilize your Strong's Exhaustive Concordance, your Bible dictionaries and your Bible encyclopedias, even your regular dictionaries, just to get an understanding of certain words in the English language. Heavenly Father, lead and guide you all, that we as a people come to the knowledge and the wisdom and the understanding of His truth. Gracious and merciful Father, open our hearts and our minds as we embark upon our new series tonight about your people. Israel, to your mind, when you hear that term, is it the state of Israel, established on May 14th, 1948? Is it the Khazarian Jews, identified as Ashkenazi? Or is it the black Hebrew Israelites, members of the Church of the Living God, the pillar ground of truth for all nations, which was founded in 1886? Or Church of God and Saints of Christ, founded in 1896? What about commandment keepers, founded in 1919? Think about it. What thoughts enter your mind when you hear the term Israel? Whatever the response, the fact remains, when it comes to Israel, there are many opinions. And many of you, within the hearing of my voice, are familiar with the saying about opinions. And there is a reason that opinions have been compared with that particular body part. Because at the end of the day, opinions, they stink. Simple and plain. There's a passage that the Most High uses when he mentions our righteousness. And just to give you an example, according to the word, see, oftentimes we have this idea of righteousness. Oftentimes we don't even realize that we have concocted personal opinions of what righteousness is supposed to be. Oftentimes, these opinionated views of righteousness become a standard that we set for ourselves, everybody else that we come across, in spite of the fact that these opinionated views of righteousness may not be in accord with the word of Yah. So what the Most High did, he inspired one of his servants, the prophets, to write how our righteousness unto him is like a filthy rag. Now do your research on that passage. Run the term filthy rag in your search engine. Look up the word in the Hebrew language, and what you will find, it is talking about a woman's filthy used menstrual pad. That is what the creator of the heavens and the earth compares our righteousness to. Emphasis, our righteousness. One of the things about being, first and foremost, a Bible believer, secondly, a Bible student, there's one thing in particular that we, as Bible believers and students of the Bible, have to do. We have to approach the word with a clear conscience, with a clear mind. And what I mean by that is this. Approach the Bible not having preconceived ideas of what we think things ought to be. But one of the things that you find in our world today has been mentioned on several other occasions. When it comes to the word, if we consider this current moment, the eve of October 12th, 2016, East Coast, every living being in the world at this exact moment, every living being, from the youngest to the oldest, neither one of us was around when the established religion or denominations that currently exist were put into place. Neither one of us was there. All born into a world system that these ways of life had already been established. So when we approach the word of Yah, the Holy Bible, the Holy Scriptures, whichever version you prefer, KJV, NIV, etc., we are all approaching it based on preconceived ideas that we have all been indoctrinated with, the variety of religions and denominations that exist in this world today. We cannot escape that fact. So, as Bible believers and Bible students, we must learn how to clear away the preconceived notions that we have as a drive to accept the word as it is revealed by way of Ruach HaKodesh. That is the only way we get to the truth, Mashiach. When he walked the earth, something that he said that it was expedient for him to go away. The word expedient, if you look it up, it is synonymous with saying profitable, beneficial. It was expedient because when he goes away, Yah will send Ruach HaKodesh, which is the Holy Spirit. He referred to it as the Comforter. And when we receive the Holy Spirit, it is the Holy Spirit that will lead and guide to truth. As a matter of fact, he said, to all truth. Foremost, we have to understand what truth really is. Now, according to popular opinion, once again, truth is actually relative. That's what the majority would have us to believe. And I can understand that in certain instances. For example, here in Baltimore City, sun is set. It is a nice autumn evening. You look around, you may see some people with light jackets because they feel a little cool. But there may be some who are not as cool as others. So in that sense, when we look at truth as being relative, it is a truth, or in other words, a reality to those who have on the right jacket that is cool and they need something to cover up. But to those you may see walking around in shorts or short sleeves, this may be their type of weather. And they may be fine with it. So relative to them personally, as it is to others. So in that sense, and in certain instances, truth or reality can be relative. But we're not talking about the weather. We're talking about the word of the Creator of the heavens and the earth, which truth is absolute. Choose those who hold dear to those types of views as being arrogant. I recall someone saying, it's arrogant for someone to think that the way of life you chose to walk is the only way of life, and that there are no other. But if you believe in the Bible, the Holy Scripture, and I'm talking about the 66 books, I'm talking about the Holy Scripture that has been named or labeled the foundation of the Judeo-Christian belief systems, Genesis to Revelation. You see, if you are a believer in this book, well, there's only one way to our Heavenly Father. That is through His Word, which became flesh and bore the name Yahushua when He walked the earth. There is no other way. He Himself said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father except by me. So when we come to that passage of Holy Scripture and we consider ourselves to be a Bible believer or a student of the Bible, we must believe that is true. Besides, in another place, He said, thy word is truth. And by truth, what we mean by that, reality. And another reality of this word here is that there are a particular group of people that the Most High, by way of His servants, the prophets, has set all other people in this world. And He gave them a name. And the name that He gave these people is Israel. So tonight, again, we continue discovery of Israel within the Holy Scripture begins with the creation of humanity. So turn now to Bereshit, Genesis chapter 1. Beginning at verse 26, which reads, and powers said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. Powers created man in His own image. In the image of powers created He him. Male and female created He them. And powers blessed them. And powers said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish, subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. And powers said, behold, I have given you every herb-bearing seed which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree in the which is the fruit yielding seed. To you it shall be for meat. And to every beast of the earth, and to every fowl of the air, and to everything that creepeth upon the earth, wherein there is life. I have given every green herb for meat. And it was so. Powers saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day. We begin here with the creation of humanity, because it is here we learn the intent and purpose of mankind being created, to emulate Elohim's powers. Remember, the term Elohim, when correctly translated, it is a plural term which means gods, mighty ones, powers. That is very important, and we'll see some things as we go along in the study. So, let's take a closer look at some of these terms that have been used. In Genesis 1:26, which reads, once again, and power said, let us make man our image. The term used here in the Hebrew language, you can find in your Hebrew lexicon, Strong's number 6754. The word is zelem, zelem. And it says that it's from an unused root. What that simply means is that you're not going to find the root of this term used in any other place in the Holy Scripture. That's what that means. Meaning to shade. Now think about that for a moment. To shade. And we're looking at the term to shade in a sense of a verb. Because another thing that we have also discussed about the Hebrew language is an active language. In other words, when you think about the term active, or when you think about activity, you think about motion, you think about moving, you think about life. In other words, it is a living language, in spite of the fact, historically speaking, at one point, they considered the Hebrew language to be a dead language. But here's my question to anyone who's of that belief. How can a language that is filled with life, and how is it filled with life? This is the language of the heavens. This is the language of the creator of the heavens and the earth. This is the language that was used to bring everything in this existence into being. In other words, something that the Messiah said. He said that the words that I speak are spirit and they are life. So how can a word that is life or brings about life itself ever be considered a dead language? But just consider that. Our word zelim, which means to shade, okay? It has, in addition to that, a phantom. Now, think about these things. A phantom. So what is this whole concept of being a phantom? It says that is figuratively illusion, resemblance, hence a representative figure. think about that. Especially an idol. So now, when he says, let us make man in our image, what man is going to be, he's going to be idol, representing the very creator of the heavens and the earth himself. Think about that. This is the intent and purpose why man was created. Now, some argue this point, so we have to touch it. Well, we're made in the image and likeness of the Most High, so why in the world is he going to condemn or punish man for being just like him? And when they make that statement, and oftentimes when a statement such as that is being made, it's being made by unbelievers. Keep that in mind. So with that statement being said, it's because they don't believe in the word of the Most High. And they're using the current condition of humanity to point out that to be mentioned. When we look at man in the current condition that we in today, 2015, we are not, and I repeat, we are not the original product that was created. We have been tainted. We have corrupted. We have been perverted. And it began with the first man and the first woman. So what we see in our day and time is the result of the perverting and the corrupting and the tainting of the original product that non-believers often make is a false statement. Because we have been far removed from when the Most High said, Tov Meod. In other words, very good when he saw everything that he had made. We are far removed from being that. And the scriptures teach that. The Bible says this. The Most High, after he created humanity, he watched. He observed. And one of the things that he realized, and all of these things, after the fact that our forefather and our foremother disobeyed a direct command, a direct order, thereby being cast forth from the Garden of Eden, losing in them when they were first created, and adapting the character of their new father, the adversary. We are very much familiar with him now. You remember him? That old serpent called the devil and Satan deceiveth, in other words, causes to believe something that is not true, relative truth, for example, as if it is the truth. Deceiveth the whole world, starting with our forefather, Adam, poor mother, Hawa, and the descendants from this forth being sinners. Period. So we're not the same. But it is important for us to know as Bible believers, as Bible students, that the original intent with humanity being created was to emulate Elohim. Let's continue. He says, let us make man in our image after our light. Coming from your Hebrew lexicon, Strong's number 1823, the word is demut, and it's derived from another Hebrew term, 1819, which is dama. Dama is a verb, again, active, meaning to be like, paired, to resemble. It even has, going back up to number 1823, it says concretely model, shape. Okay? So in one sense, we're seeing how we're going to be a representative figure, Zelem. In another sense, we see that we're going to be comparable to Dharma. Okay? Keep these things in mind. Because here's the question. Humanity, to emulate the Most High, has that changed? In spite of the tainting, corrupting, perverting, in spite of, has that changed? Think about it. Here's the other question of the heavens and the earth giving us His word. Think about it. What was the purpose of doing that? And while we're considering the fact that the Creator took the time to create a word to give to humanity, who did He give that word to? Just meditate on these things. As we go through, we're going to allow Ruach HaKodesh to put things together for us. So let's move on. He says again, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion. Think about that. Dominion. What is that? Control. Connected to the term domination. Man was given domination over everything on this planet. Now think about that. Something we learned about that old serpent when we were looking into him, right? Turn in your Bibles for a moment to Luke chapter 4. And this is when Mashiach was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being 40 days tempted of the devil. Now, there's something that was said. Going down to verse 5. And the devil, taking him up into an high mountain, showed unto him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said unto him, all this power will I give thee, and the glory of them. Stop there for a moment. Let's backtrack. What is he talking about? And the devil, taking him up into an high mountain, showed unto him kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. All the kingdoms of the world, I recall in another lesson that we had, and I believe this one, in regards to Babel, confusion, there are 206 sovereign states in the world. So when it says all the kingdoms of the world, what the adversary is referring to are the 206 sovereign states. And I'm using that language of today just to give you an example of what he's referring to. Verse 6 again, and the devil said unto him, all this power will I give thee, and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me. Stop right there. The question we have to ask ourselves is, how? Because we just read in Genesis chapter 1, when that man and that woman were created, that they were given dominion over everything. How is it then that the adversary is saying, all this power will I give thee and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me? How was it delivered unto him when we read it was given to Adam and Hawa? Go to Romans chapter 6, verse 16. Some of you within the hearing of my voice may say, I knew he was going to that passage. Well, you are absolutely correct. Because one of the things about the word, it defines and explains itself. So, in Romans chapter 6 and verse 16, know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves service to obey? Stop there for a moment. There was one, well, actually, there was not just one command. Be fruitful and multiply is also a command. Replenish the earth is also a command. Subdue it is also a command. But when the Most High said not to partake of that tree in the midst of the garden and specified the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, that is a direct order. That is a direct command. When Adam and Hawa broke that order, broke that command, essence, this is what they were doing. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves service to obey, at that moment, if the Creator said, don't eat, for in the day that you eat, you will die, and the adversary comes along and says, ye shall not surely die, who did Adam and Hawa obey? They ate the fruit. Brother Shaul writes, know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves service to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey. Now then he gives you an example of who you can obey. Rather of sin unto death, we can obey sin. This is what he says. Or of obedience unto righteousness. Same two ways. Blessing, curse. Good, evil. Water, fire, same thing. So when they made the choice to eat of the forbidden fruit, as many refer to it, they were in essence obeying the adversary. So now the dominion that they were given over everything that this planet has to offer has now been transferred because they have been subjected to the adversary. Whatever they had dominion over has now been delivered unto him, Now he has that dominion, or at least had, H-A-D, had that dominion. You see, that dominion at this point in time by the second Adam, as the Holy Scripture titles him. You see, when Mashiach says, all power in the heavens and the earth has been given to me. In other words, he came down into the physical world and he took back that dominion that was originally given to Adam and Hawa. Continue. So, the term dominion, number 7287 in your Hebrew lexicon, the word is radar, and it means to tread down, subjugate, crumble off. And this Hebrew term conveys the notion of exercising domain, dominion, domination. Okay? So when we put all of this together, and powers said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. Is he teaching us man would become God on earth? Think about it. Meditate on it. Let's continue about this man that he's created. Because there's another issue going on in our world today. That issue pertains to what we refer to as racism, white supremacy. Racism, white supremacy. Now, the latter part of that, white supremacy, think about that. Primacy. What's the concept behind racism, white supremacy? What is the agenda? And if you listen to anyone who stands for what they refer to as white power, be it a Ku Klux Klan member, member of the skinheads or the Nazi, as they refer to themselves, one thing that you often hear in regard to the other ethnicities of the world, they want to maintain a pure white race. But there's a reason for that. Irony of it all is this. No matter how pure you try to maintain this white race, it does not negate the scientific, anthropologic fact derived are descended from people of color. Can't change that. That is a fact. And what we are going to do right now, we are going to allow the Holy Scripture to determine that. You see? We are going to allow the Holy Scripture to determine man and woman that was created. by the word, if we believe it. Let's go. Genesis chapter 5, verse 1. This is the book of the generations of Adam. In the day that powers created man, in the likeness of powers made he him. Male and female created he them, and blessed them, and called their name Adam in the day when they were created. Now, the word that we want to look at is Adam. You find it in your Hebrew lexicon, Strong's number 121. Adam, it says, the same as 120. We're going to read that in a moment. Adam, the name of the first man, a proper noun or name used of the first human. It also occurs as a common noun meaning humanity, depending on its context. 120, again, same term, Adam, and this word is said derives from 119, got that momentarily. But 120, Adam, ruddy. What does that mean? Ruddy. Now, it says that is a human being. In other words, the individual or the species, again, mankind. Okay? And this is a generic term which talks about the human race. But for instance, if the first term that it gives you is ruddy. And what is ruddy? So let's go to 119 first. Again, Adam. So we got three different words, okay, 121, 120, 119, all spelled exactly the same way. And what we're actually doing, we're looking at three different terms or of one word. In some instances, it may refer to Adam, that first man, as a proper noun. In some instances, it may refer to humanity. In some instances, now it says 119, definition is to show blood, and then it has in parentheses, in the face. That is flush or turn rosy. Now, I have to explain this because here's the idea. Exhaustive Strong's Concordance. Put this definition in here. Now, when I say that, this is what I don't want people to do. Hold up, brother, you're buffeting. I'm not buffeting, but I am explaining a truth that you're going to see as we go along. We have to ask the question, why does it say to show blood, flush, turn rosy? Think about that. Listen, that is for this reason. You can see that term in a person of fair complexion when they blush, you see, and you see how the face fills with blood and it turns reddish, so to speak. So the idea is to get people to believe that this first man was of a Caucasian persuasion, so to speak, so that now this whole concept of Adam and Hawa being a white man and a white woman, the reason why this definition was put here. But we're not finished yet, because see, we're going to allow the word again. We're going to allow the word to define. Now, this term, Adam, number 119, is used in two places in Scripture. Actually, these two places are referred to the same person, okay? You find it in 1 Samuel 16, verse 12, 1 Samuel 17, verse 42, both talking about Dawid or King David. 1 Samuel 16:12, and he sent and brought him in. Now he was ruddy and withal of a beautiful countenance and goodly to look at. And Yahweh said, arise, anoint him, for this is he. 1 Samuel 17:42. And when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him, for he was but a youth and ruddy and of a fair countenance. Now, the word used here comes from number 132, Strong's number, in your Hebrew lexicon, and the word is armoni. Okay? It's derived from number 119, and it simply means reddish. Now, the term reddish, ruddy, what does that mean? You do a reference on a term. First of all, think about red. Think about the color red, okay, for a moment. Think about the color red. Think about the term reddish. Term ruddy is just another play on the word red. It means practically the same thing, okay? But what the term ruddy oftentimes points to, it's not just red. When you think about just blood red, even though that has a connection to it, but something that you know about blood. See, blood, when it's wet, it has a rich red complexion. But blood, when it dries, it is a brown complexion. That's for a reason. There's another passage we want to take a look at. Song of Solomon, chapter 5, and verse 10. Okay. Now, it says here, my beloved is white and ruddy. There we go, brother. And a lot of people, they look at that, they run to that, and they say, hold up, he was white. But what you have to do, you have to look behind that. See, you can't be white and ruddy at the same time. Unless, because see, that's two different, if you're looking at it in the sense of color, we already understand that ruddy means reddish. You're not going to be white and red. You're going to be one or the other. But if you look at the term white, what you find is that the term actually means dazzling, sparkling. That's what the word actually means. Do some research. Song of Solomon, chapter 5, verse 10. My beloved is dazzling and ruddy, reddish, still reddish. The chiefest among 10,000. Now, the word translated ruddy here comes from number 122. So this is a whole other word. Now, this word is pronounced Adon. Now, this is derived, again, from number 119, and it says here that it means rosy. Now, even when you think about the whole concept of rosy, right? They say rosy because when you think about rosy, especially when you talk about somebody's skin, they think that they want to give you the concept that it's pink, you know? Because roses come in white, pink, red. But the idea for them to say rosy is still trying to sway you in a direction of that fairer complexion. But hold up, we're not finished yet. Turn to Numbers chapter 19, and we're going to read verses 1 and 2, because right here, clearly see exactly what the complexion of that first man is. And I give praise, glory, and honor to the creator of the heavens and the earth, the way he has designed his word. You see? Beautiful thing. See, right now, over in the state of Israel, and I want to specify that's exactly what that is. That's something different. The state of Israel, right? They are making preparations to rebuild the temple. Some of you who follow along with that type of event are well aware of that. So much so that they have, if I remember correctly, they have constructed the furnishings to go in the temple. they may have also put together the garment that the priest would wear. Okay? Now, one thing that they were looking for a particular animal. And in Numbers chapter 19, verses 1 and 2, we read about this animal. So Yahweh spake unto Moses and unto Aaron, saying, this is the ordinance of the law which Yahweh hath commanded, saying, speak unto the sons of Israel, that they bring thee a red heifer without spot, wherein is no blemish, and upon which never came yoke. Now, it says that they bring thee a red heifer. For those of you who are not familiar with what a heifer is a female cow. Okay? The male cow they refer to as a bull. The female cow they refer to as a heifer. Now, the red heifer. Now, if you ask any Ashkenazi Jew, produce a picture of a red heifer, guaranteed, not even just producing a picture, if you ask them to take you to a farm and show me a red heifer, guaranteed that heifer will not have the complexion of a Caucasian. Will not. You know why? Because it would be a reddish, brownish complexion. So if complexion, based on the term Adam, you see, when you look at it, when the Bible says, and let's turn to that, because we want to let the Holy Scripture speak. Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, right? It says, and Yahweh powers form man of the dust of the ground. Now, the word ground, okay, Strong's number 127. This is a word, it's pronounced Adama. In other words, the term Adam is the root of the word Adama, which means ground. So that gives you an idea of the dirt to use to form and fashion this man. It was a reddish brown complexion. And that first man and that first woman who was taken from that man were a reddish brown complexion, just like that red heifer. Some of you saying, well, what's the significance of that? When we, as Bible believers, Bible students, can accept that the original man was a man of color, and the early humans were also people of color, the fact that the early Israelites are people of color becomes more apparent. Nevertheless, and I have to say this too, that will not be the primary focus whether or not the original Israelites were black or white. That's irrelevant at this point in this day and time. But historically speaking, when you look at movies, when you look at television shows, they do not want to portray the Israelites in the form and fashion where they actually live, how they actually look. There are a multitude of passages of scripture that we can use to prove conclusively that these people were definitely, beyond a shadow of doubt, people of color. humanity in general. That's the point of going this direction at the beginning of this lesson, to establish that as a fact. All you need to do, if you don't believe it, run reference, Google it, Yahoo it, however you want to use the search engine on your internet, put in red Tesla images and see what that animal looks like. And you will see the complexion of the early man. And see where they look for that red heifer that says without spot. That means it has to be red all over. They can't have one little defect, one little white spot will cause that animal to be invalid. It has to be pure red, brown. You see? Run the reference. Do your research. But let's move on. Again, just to get everybody back on point, what we are doing, we're looking at what does the Bible teach about Israel. We started with humanity being created. It is important, imperative even, that we know and that we understand the intent and purpose of why humanity was created, again, to emulate Yahweh Elohim, the image, the likeness, okay, things here, the wisdom of the Most High. Now, Genesis chapter 5 and verse 3, which reads, and Adam lived 130 years and begat a son in his own likeness after his image. Listen to that. Meditate on that. I'm not going to get far into that, but we have to ask a question. Remember our opening passage. All scripture was given by inspiration of Yah. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning. And now the Holy Scripture says, let us make man in our image and our likeness. And this man was called Adam. And now we'll read it. And Adam lived 130 years and begat a son in his own likeness after his image. What are we learning from that? See, when the Creator told them to be fruitful and multiply, what is he telling them to do? Think about it. Meditate on it. And when I say meditate on it, what I'm saying, pray about it. Ask the Most High to, by his Spirit, to open your heart, open your mind, and teach you what his intent and purpose was behind doing these things. There's a reason. All we have to do is ask him what the reason is. When you think about what was just said, and begat a son in his own likeness after his image, and we consider the only way that a man can replicate himself is to come together with a woman. Think about that. The only way that life can be produced is by a man and a woman coming together during the Feast of Booths that just passed, while we were camping out in the wilderness with the Most High. We had a discussion one Shabbat Eve. And one of the points that was brought out in regards to this LGBT movement, take any bisexual, any homosexual, any transsexual whatsoever. Each and every one of those individuals was brought into being because a man and a woman came together and produced their lives. Promulgate same-sex relationships. But the Creator said, be fruitful and multiply. Two men can't do that. Two women can't do that. I don't care what kind of surgery Bruce Jenner got. He will never, ever be able to bear a child because he was not created with the equipment of a female. He was created with the equipment of a male. So truthfully, he will never, ever be a woman. Look at this confused world that we live in. Creator, when he initially made man, it was with the intent not only that man be a replica of himself, but that man continue to replicate and produce other men and other women so that they will also be the image and the likeness of the Most High. Keep that thought in mind. Let's move on. Again, Genesis chapter 5, verse 3. And Adam, 30 years, and begat a son in his own likeness after his image, and called his name Shep. And Shep lived 105 years and begat Anus. Now, what I'm doing, I'm just skipping through, and I'm touching on certain parts here, okay? That was Genesis chapter 5 and verse 6. Verse 9, and Anus lived 90 years and begat Cainan. Verse 12, and Cainan lived 70 years and begat Mahalalel. And Mahalalel lived 65 years and begat Yared. And Yared, verse 15, and now verse 18, my apologies. And Yared lived 162 years, and he begat Hanuk, verse 21. And Hanuk lived 65 years and begat Methushelah, verse 22. And Hanuk walked with Ha-Elohim, found in the New Testament. And it says, even as Enoch, the seventh from Adam, prophesied. Okay? And I wanted to just interject that thought here, because Enoch, or Hanuk more correctly, was an important person in this lineage. Very significant. It says, and Hanuk powers the mighty ones, the gods. And it's referring to Yahweh. After he begat Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters. Okay? Let's move on. Verse 25. And Methuselah lived 187 years and begat Lamech. And Lamech lived 102 years and begat a son. And he called his name Noah, saying, this same shall comfort us concerning our work and toil of our hands, because of the ground which Yahweh hath cursed. Now, what are we doing? In the wisdom, again, that the Most High, by way of his servant, the prophet. In this case, Moshe. He has revealed a very interesting truth to us. And all we need to do to uncover this truth is to define the names of these sons. So from Adam to Noah, you have 10 generations. So you have 10 people. And in each of these names, for example, Adam, which we've seen, which simply means man. The name Shep means appointed. The name Anus means mortal. The name Kainan means structure. The name Mahalalel means praise of power. Yared means descend. The name Hanuk means dedicate. The name Methuselah means his death sends forth. The name Lamech, the name Noah, means rest. Now think about that. If we put together the message that's been given, man appointed a mortal structure, we just finished what we refer to as the Festival of Booths. Okay? One of the commands that the Most High gave in regard to that particular observance, he said, for 7 days now, 7 days, we had to leave our homes, we had to dwell in the right house, a tabernacle, a tent. One of the reasons why is because the Most High does not want us to become comfortable here. You see, he doesn't want us to look at where we live on a regular basis as being permanent. You know, we refer to this, well, what's your permanent address? According to the Holy Scripture, when we look at our forefathers, they refer to them as being pilgrims. In other words, they were nomadic. They traveled. Of course, they traveled up until the times that they were given the land of promise. But he doesn't want us to get settled in this world system. See, that's why one of the things that we learn in the world, you see, that means we dwell here. We are physical beings just like every other human being. But the difference is he doesn't want us to have that same mindset. In other words, our mind is not of this world system. That's why in another place, you got Brother Shaul again writing to the assembly in Rome. He says, be not conformed to this world. Be ye transformed. And listen to what he says. By the renewing of your mind. Now, think about the whole idea of renewing something. What are you doing? If you have something that is old, let's take a piece of furniture. Let's take a piece of wooden furniture, right? If you were to renew that furniture, what do you do? What are the steps that you take? Well, one thing that you may want to do, because it is wood, you may want to take some sandpaper, and you may want to get all of the stains, the finish off, and you want to just rub it back and forth, and you want to sandpaper till instead of having that dark color that the wood may have after it's all finished and completed, you want to remove all of that, and you want to bring it back down to that light complexion, you know, and when you cut a tree down and when you split that wood and you look at the inside of that wood, it has that light complexion to it. And then what you do after you shape it and you put the table or you put the chair or whatever furniture you're making, you put it together, then after it's put together, and then you smooth it on out, then you put your stain on there, then you shellac it and make it nice and shiny. You got to remove all of that, and you got to break it down to its bare essence. So when you talk about renewing your mind, think about that. It is something about us. The scripture says, which we read, that he breathed into Adam's nostrils the breath of life. And man became a living being, a living soul. So with that breath of life, what that does, in the book of Job, we learn how it is the spirit of the Almighty that gives us understanding. In other words, when you think about your mind, that's the spirit of life that the Creator has given us. And by that spirit of life, it gives us the ability to think, to reason, to make decisions. It is that part of us that was corrupted. It is that part of us that needs to be renewed. And if they're going to be renewed, if the Most High is going to, like he does with that wood, he's going to take that sandpaper and he's going to strip us down. That means he's going to take us back to when he first created that man. And he said, Tov Meod. In other words, very good. He's going to take us back to that mindset that our forefather and our foremother had when they were in the Garden of Eden before they were tainted, corrupted, perverted, you see. He's going to take us back to that state, that being, you see. So when you think about this, he commanded us to leave our permanent residences here because he doesn't want us to be that attached. And he wants us to wilderness. And if you do a research on that word, wilderness, Bemidbar, you'll find out some wonderful things about it. One thing that jumps right out at you is the fact that the term Bemidbar, it is actually derived from another Hebrew term called Bemidbar. And that word, oftentimes when we see it in the Tanakh, has been translated as his word. So when we are dwelling in the wilderness, you see, we're dwelling in his nature. We're dwelling in what he called into being, separated from the permanency of our regular dwelling. And we're living under the sun and the moon and the stars. In other words, his divine order. You see? That's all about. So he says, man appointed a mortal structure. That's this physical body of ours. You see? He said, praise of power. Descend, dedicate his death to send forth powerful rest in this. The name, see, hold up, brother. Are you trying to tell me that these men, when they named their sons, they named them these things intentionally, and the Most High and his wisdom was able to utilize this to give us a message? Let's take it back a little further than that. This is what's being said. When these men were considering the names for their sons, it is the creator of the heavens and earth who inspired them to name them what they named them. So he can give this message, Bible believers, to his Talmudim or his Bible students. You see? And all of this that we're touching on has something to do with what the Bible teaches about Israel. And as we continue, we're going to see more within the Holy Scripture told for us. You see, the creator of the heavens and the earth has blessed us abundantly with his word. And in his word, brothers and sisters, as I've been taught, please don't take my word for it, to lead you to guide you by his spirit so that he can open up his very own word for you, that you can see whether these things that we talk about are indeed true. Heavenly Father, in the name of your Son, our Redeemer, our soon coming King, Messiah, Yahushua, I give praise, glory, and honor to your holy and your most precious name, Heavenly Father. I thank you for the opportunity that you blessed me with. I thank you for the privilege that you blessed me with to be able to share your word, Heavenly Father. The word that you share with me, to be able to share that word with others. Heavenly Father, you know my heart. You know my mind. You know my inner working. You know my motivation. You know my intent. You know my reasons. Heavenly Father, you know me better than I know myself. You know me better than any other person in this world will ever know me. And you know that I'm not worthy. I'm not worthy of the blessing to share your word. I'm not worthy of the blessing to stand before thee, to stand as a messenger to your people, to stand as a messenger for your people. Thou art merciful. Thou art compassionate, filled with loving kindness, long-suffering. And you have allowed me, Heavenly Father, in spite of my flaws, in spite of my shortcomings, you have allowed me to speak your word. And for that, I am grateful. Heavenly Father, I pray. Father, I pray and I ask that you please hear my prayer. I pray through your Son. I pray through your word, Heavenly Father, because you say in your word, whatever we ask in his name, we shall receive. Heavenly Father, I'm a sinner. You know me. But I want to do what's right, in spite of the fact that oftentimes I still do what's wrong. Father, I pray that you strengthen us, and by us, I'm talking about your people, Heavenly Father. Heavenly Father, not everybody out here claiming to be your people or seeking to represent you rightfully. You have some who are slandering your name. You have some who are fleecing the people, taking their money. You have some who are manipulating and using and abusing your word that they can take advantage of people, Heavenly Father. Gracious and merciful Father, I pray for those who are sincere in their desire to live their lives according to the will of the Creator of the heavens and the earth, Heavenly Father. I pray for those who may not even be Bible believers, Heavenly Father. But whatever they believe, they have a desire to do what is right according to their understanding. Gracious and merciful Father, I pray that you lead us and you guide each and every one of us by your Spirit to your truth, to your word, that we may all do that which is pleasing in thy sight, Heavenly Father. Because the adversary, he's put the world over everybody's eyes, and the world has been deceived. You have brought that forth in your word, and I believe it. I believe it because I can see it. It's a reality today. But whatever, Heavenly Father, I believe that thy word is the most powerful force in this existence, Heavenly Father. And by thy word, Heavenly Father, you can break the bonds of deception. You can remove the clouds of darkness by your divine light. And I pray that you do that, Heavenly Father, to the hearts and to the mind of all who with sincerity and with humility desire to serve you according to your will and your will only. So strengthen us all by your Spirit that we may all submit to your will. Strengthen us all that we may all obey your voice. Strengthen us all that we may remove the deception, the blindness that our adversary and your adversary has perpetrated against humanity, Heavenly Father. Strengthen us by your Spirit that we may overcome. Isn't that why you sent your word? Isn't that why you sent forth your Son, Heavenly Father? The times that we're living in, Heavenly Father, difficult times, and we cannot survive them without your Spirit. So I pray for this Yahweh congregation, for all the members, Heavenly Father, whatever their struggle may be, whatever obstacle is before them, I pray that you strengthen them by your Spirit, that they may overcome. I pray for the household of faith throughout the four corners of this world, Heavenly Father, that you strengthen us all by your Spirit. Unify us by your Spirit. Because it is not by our strength, and it is not by our might, Heavenly Father, that we can overcome. Lead us and guide us. Continue to be gracious and merciful. Cleanse us and wash us by the blood of Yahushua, our Messiah, that we may do all and only that which is pleasing to thee. Heavenly Father, I thank you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
All the glory belongs to you. All the glory belongs to you, oh God. All the glory belongs to you. All the glory belongs to you, oh God. Yeah. All the glory belongs to you. All the glory belongs to you, oh God. Yeah. All the glory belongs to you. All the glory belongs to you, oh God. All the glory belongs to you.
All the glory belongs to you.
Oh God. All the glory belongs to you. Oh God.
All the glory belongs to you.
Oh God.
All the glory belongs to you.
Oh God. Yeah.
To give your name the highest praise today. So we say, ha,
hallelujah.
Because you're worthy.